Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle. We're that people dashboard helping all of you HR leaders get time back in your day because you don't have to spend time pulling manual spreadsheets from all your different HR systems to try to better understand your workforce and to tell a data-driven story about the workforce. How do we do that? So glad you asked. We have a people dashboard that has pre-built connectors to all of the most popular HR systems you're all using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Greenhouse, Zenefits, Sapling, ADP, Trinet, Greenhouse, 15.5, Reflective, you name it. Are you using all those systems? We know you are. Just connect your systems to our people dashboard. We automatically pull in all your data. We keep it updated in real time so that you, your people team, and your company can all view, track, share, and analyze all your people data in one place. And we know you need it because everyone's working remote. And how do you know what's going on with your workforce? So go to employeecycle.com. Check us out. Would love for you to schedule a demo so we can understand how we can help you automate your HR reporting and analytics process. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Melissa Bonner. She's the VP of HR at Prime Trust. And today we're going to talk about how to provide employee benefits to a remote workforce. Melissa, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Melissa, welcome!
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. It's a pleasure to have you here. So Melissa, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
I kind of fell into it, to be honest. I was in accounting. I'd been in banking for many, many years, and I had a mentor that wanted me to come work with her, and I loved it so much that I went back to school and did it full time.
Got it. All right. So, Melissa, today we're talking about how to provide employee benefits to a remote workforce. And I always like to start at the beginning to level set and make sure that everyone's on the same page at the beginning of the interview. So can you define employee benefits to us and what does that mean before we start talking about the distinction between employee benefits pre-COVID or just say in office versus remote?
Yeah, I think employee benefits to me isn't just about insurance, vacation, paid time off. I think it's about the additional benefits that you can offer to your employees, like in this employee assistance program. Additional benefits, will preparation, tax preparation, all of those additional benefits that people may not have time to do during their 8-to-5 job, but they really need that benefit available to them. And just being able to make it easily accessible for them is a huge benefit. And I think it long term shows that you care about your employee base.
And let's just jump, which seems to be 10 years ago, pre-COVID. How do you think employees really viewed benefits? Do you think they viewed them as something that's a must-have, a nice-to-have, that depend on which ones? Was it a competitive advantage to offer certain benefits to certain types of employees? What did that look like? Just take me a little back in time, and then we can get back to present day in a bit.
You know, 10 years ago, I think that the perception of employee benefits was truly about insurance. What could I provide for my, you know, myself or my family? And how much is it going to cost? You know, transitioning from one employer to the other, am I going to have a pre-existing condition? Is this going to affect my issues? And I think 401ks were an important part of those benefits, but I don't know that the education level that we have today with more mental health awareness and more, you know, single parents and millennials coming into the workforce that are really paying attention to what the additional perks are for them. I think that it wasn't as much of a focus as it is today, but I think that benefits have always been a source of recruitment for employers.
All right. Now bring me back to present day, and let's just talk about right before COVID, because we know that a lot of things that should have been addressed, like mental health pre-COVID, probably was not as dressed as much as it is now. But talk to me pre-COVID, right before March of last year, 2020, what were some of the benefits that you saw employees really clamoring for, asking for, if they were active employees, the benefits that people would smile and really get excited about as they're going through the recruiting process to get hired?
My experience was not only the retirement benefit, but the understanding of, if I put this much money in, if the company matches it, how much could I potentially have? But then also understanding the benefit of the different variations of a 401k, you know, pre-tax versus Roth, and those type of things. So what I really tried to focus in was doing surveys to understand what was important to the employees, and then trying to bring external parties in that were maybe specialists in that field, to then have those conversations. So I did a lot of things called lunch and learns. As an example, I had quite a few people that were starting families and were interested in, you know, long-term trusts for their family and their home and their children and their spouse. And so I brought in an external attorney's office to come in and especially talk to the people about wills and tax preparation and those type of things. And we really tried to focus on the people that were truly having a full niche on their specialty and craft so that they could give the employees everything that they needed.
That's awesome. So I want to break this interview down into three easy sections, because we really like to leave our audience with some type of actionable plan or framework once they leave this interview. So the first section we're going to talk about is, how do you think about which benefits to offer and how to offer them to a remote workforce? And then the next part we'll talk about is, how do you roll these benefits out? Where do you get them from? Who do you partner with? And then the third part is, how do you measure the ROI utilization rates of them and really figure out if this was in fact the right move? So let's start off with the plan. We know that oftentimes, unfortunately, HR really has to fight and scrap for dollars. And you always have to make a business case in regards to why you want this budget for this thing, why you should get resources to implement this initiative, and just why should you be able to do this new thing in general. So talk to me and the audience about coming up with a plan to start offering benefits and a strategy to offer benefits to your remote workforce.
So what I did when I joined Prime Trust was I looked at our employee base, and we were split kind of 50-50 with remote workers and with in-house workers. But then obviously with the COVID pandemic coming in to fruition, it kind of pushed more people into remote. But when I looked at the remote employees, I'll use that as out of the state of Nevada where I am, I looked at what their medical networks were. And then my real focus was working with my insurance broker to make sure that the medical plan that we were having identified for the masses would give the most benefit for everybody across the board. So obviously for us, we had to look at maybe a larger network provider to make sure that the people out of the state of Nevada were still getting the same kind of care or coverage that we would be giving to our employees in Nevada. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and with that, because so many HR leaders and just employers in general are realizing that people are moving around, whether they're moving permanently or they're living in different places for 3 to 6 months, or they're jumping in an RV and driving cross country, does that affect the way that you choose benefits at all based off of where people are moving and now can live anywhere if they're going to work remote?
Yes, it does, in the sense of you want to make sure that they have those tools available to them. Obviously, if they're moving to a remote area, you're going to have to look at the closest metropolis area, you know, to see where they could get the benefits. We have had, with COVID, we've had employees actually totally relocate. They've, you know, decided that they wanted to be closer to family, or maybe they wanted a different economic area. And so therefore, because of COVID and the flexibility of working remote, they've relocated to other states. The benefit for us has been that most of them have been major states where they've gone to a bigger metropolis area or equivalent. And so we've been able to offer the same kind of benefit.
Got it. And then a little earlier, you were saying that when you think of employee benefits, you don't just think of insurance, but you're thinking 401k, you're thinking EAPs, or what I believe to be employee assistant programs. Does that also include fringe benefits as well? So things like subscriptions to meditation apps or yoga or fruit basket delivery, childcare. I've heard so many things. So I'm curious, what does that look like? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, for our fringe benefits, we really have, you know, with this COVID pandemic specifically, we've made sure that our employees know we're thinking about them. If they've unfortunately been diagnosed positive, we send a care package to them. And that's really gone a long way. You know, even if it's been one of our employees who maybe their immediate family member has been diagnosed, just sending that, hey, you know, we're rooting for you, we're thinking about you if you need anything, that's gone a long way. We've offered daycare assistance or school assistance tuition so that our employee base can focus on work and not worry about that. You know, a lot of people, maybe they were a two-income home, and now with COVID, now they're a one-income home, and they're not sure how they're going to be able to still look for work and provide the daycare and those type of things. So trying to ease that pressure off of them has really, truly been a benefit. For, you know, with the gyms being closed, that's been a little bit of a challenge. But we do offer reimbursement to try to help with the mental health stability with that as well, giving you an outlet. You know, there's a lot of online platforms, obviously, that you can use to work out. But there's also, the name escapes me, there's a company in New York who has a really interesting program where they make all of these things available to your employee base. And it's like a monthly gym membership, but they can also, if and when the gyms do open back up, they can go there and they can apply that membership towards that. And that was an interesting perspective for me to see, to give our employees another outlet, because not everybody needs mental health in the sense of what people think of going to a therapist. Maybe their outlet is working out or crafts or whatever. And you want to make sure that you can make those things available to them to kind of help them check out, but also to refocus.
Got it. And so the last question I want to ask you in this section is around choosing the world of benefits that you're going to provide, and then how did you get buy-in to be able to offer them? So how did you choose and select all of the benefits or the different groups and categories of benefits, and then how did you get buy-in to be able to offer them?
A couple of things. We did a survey to see kind of what employees' mindset was on what they were looking for, or maybe what their family needs were coming up to be. I've learned that several of our employees are planners in the sense of, you know, I'm getting married, I'm going to have a family, so they wanted to know what their benefits were going to look like that way. So that was a good eye opener for me. The other thing I did was I looked at benefits that I've seen in the past, benefits I've heard of from other employers, and then what we currently offered, and truly tried to find a good cohesive plan that would offset each other in a good way, but also give the most to the masses. I did not have a hard time selling it to our executives team, to be very candid. They are all about giving back to our employees. And when we rolled out our new benefits this year with our open enrollment, we got positive feedback. We got suggestions on some things that employees would like to see moving forward. And it's great because I'll put it on my list and evaluate it that way. But I was trying to give the most for as little to see what would work and then build from there.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. So then the next section around rolling this out, how did you roll this out? Was it top down? Did you tell managers and then they told employees? Did it come straight from HR, CEO, CFO? What did that look like?
What I did was I submitted it to our executive level. We all evaluated it together, and then I rolled it out to let the employees know. So I basically sent out a mass communication, just letting them know what our benefits were, what they were changing to, what their options were, and then if they had questions, they could reach out to my team and I, and we could help them in any way. Obviously, when you roll all that out, you know, what they see at the end of the day is, how much is this going to cost me? What are my benefits? They don't think about all of the knit and grit into it until they actually are in it and utilizing the benefit. But it was just a mass rollout, and we got very positive feedback about it. So specifically from an employee base that was outside of our state of Nevada. They were thrilled with the fact that we had looked at a larger carrier that was able to give benefits in their area.
Awesome. And were there any challenges with rolling this out remotely versus having everyone in the office where you could walk around to their desk and talk to them about it?
No, we're blessed in the sense of our HRIS system was able to do pretty much all of the legwork for me. They just basically filled out the stuff online. It spit out a report for me and I submitted it and we were on our way. So it was very easy.
Awesome. Well, that's good to know you had a pretty streamlined, automated process. All right. So then lastly, I want to talk to you about, and it sounds like you've already talked about this a little bit and hinted in regards to the employee saying that you did a great job and they appreciated the move to a broader network. But how are you thinking about accomplishing your goal here in regards to satisfying the workforce, managing your budget and costs, and then also understanding utilization rate? Talk to me about that, you know, that strategy for figuring out the ROI, but then also making sure that people are actually using what you wrote out.
That's I have a really good relationship with my insurance broker, and so they're able to give me stats. Well, you know, obviously with HIPAA laws and all of that, I don't get, you know, detailed confidential information, but I am able to know if our systems are being utilized and what is and isn't working. And then based on that, we can do a higher evaluation of if we need to make changes or not. You know, I think with us, we've been a little more reserved with rolling out a bunch of benefits to then just see what sticks and doesn't stick. I think we've gone with some very strong benefits up front, and then we're going to evaluate increasing benefits as we go along to then see if the ROI is there. You know, the good thing about Prime Trust and my company is I work very closely with our CFO. So we look at the ROI, we look at what we're putting into it versus what we're getting out of it. And I think that it's a great partnership for us. And the employees enjoy it. I think it's trial and error sometimes too.
Got it. And so the last question that I want to ask you is, are there any potential pitfalls or anything that you would advise someone who is rolling out their first plan to their remote workforce or they've done this, but now they're trying to figure out how to optimize what they've already done? Any tips or anything that you've learned that you think that if somebody only remembers one thing from this interview, that this would probably be the most important thing?
You know, for me, it was make sure you truly understand how your benefit plans work, whatever it is, and that you're getting the most out of them for the company and for the employees.
Got it. Short and sweet. I like it. Melissa, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for taking time to uplift the HR community. So thank you, Melissa.
Thank you for having me, Bruce.
So where can people find you and Prime Trust online?
We are at primetrust.com. And then you can always send me an email to hr@primetrust.com as well.
Awesome. And I'll definitely be sure to include all that contact info in the show notes. So everyone listening out there, if you've enjoyed this episode as much as Melissa and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes because it shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first Employee Cycle interview you're listening to, and you came here because you either thought the topic was compelling or you're already a huge super fan of Melissa and you just had to hear what she was going to say, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all you super awesome HR people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.